Hey, Mystic Michaela spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are talking about everything pink aura shades, pink aura combos. And I'm going to tell you something. You care about pink auras. I'm going to tell you why you care and how that shows up in the collective consciousness. And once you know a pink, you will never be able to unsee a pink. So we're going to get into that. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. Even I care.
You do.
You know, I have to ask this. Mm. I know you've said, and we've gone through this 100 times on the podcast and in real life, even more times in real life than on the podcast. And you always say I'm red and blue. But I feel that this week I've been a little pink.
Maybe you're a little pink this week.
I think I'm a little pink. Well, I'm going to tell you, I got the best haircut of all time.
Oh, my God.
My hair.
Here we go. I know what you're going to say.
Has not looked this good. Thank you, Jenny B., my hairstylist. My hair has not looked this good.
My hairstylist.
That's right. I have a hairstylist.
You do?
Yeah. I tip well. It hasn't looked good in like the last, I don't even know, maybe ever.
It's a good haircut.
Yeah.
You went a little longer.
I went a little longer.
And it is good. But I'll tell you, yeah, what I'm about to say is weird. Like, yeah. If I pre-screen it before it comes out of my mouth.
Oh, boy. Where are you going with this?
Well, because I was like, you know, we were in yoga.
Yeah.
And you like to pick the spot by the mirror so you can watch your moves.
No, that's not true.
Oh, really?
No, I don't pick that. No, that's
okay.
Not true.
You always are by the mirror, correct?
I pick, yes, because I pick this. Yes, it is by the mirror, but it is the back row, last spot in the corner. Now, that's where all throughout my high school, college days, I sat in the last row in the back corner.
It's not because there's a mirror there?
No, not at all.
So,
but there is a mirror there.
It was right before yoga started.
Yes.
And you were sitting on your mat in kind of like a cross-legged lotus position.
I was warming up. I was doing baby's got bottle or whatever.
Yeah. And you looked in the mirror and I heard you mumble to yourself, I look like McDreamy. And you touched your hair. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, you know how McDreamy, was it
Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Well, he's got great hair.
Yeah.
And now.
He does.
Well, he did. I don't remember. I haven't seen him in like 10 years.
Probably still. No,
10
he
years
does.
Ago, we had great hair.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's in Enchanted and stuff. Yeah.
And I feel that's the level of my hair right now. That's why I think I might have some pink in my
hair. It was just really funny. Because, like, listen, I'm so glad you love yourself, you know? And it was just like, who mumbles that? Because you didn't think I heard you or anything. Like, you just, that came out of your head.
Okay.
Like, that came out of your, like, that was, like, so organic. You're like, oh, my God, I look like McDreamy. And you were just, like,
I don't know if it was that.
Touching your hair. You're, like, looking at yourself in the mirror in a lotus position. It was great.
I was in the downward cow or whatever.
So
okay,
maybe
not the lotus.
It was before
okay.
class.
There's a lot of holes in your story here from you thinking I like the mirror.
Okay, it was yoga class. It was before it started. It was you staring in the mirror, and it was you mumbling to yourself, wow, I look like McDreamy.
Yes, that is true. I did say that.
And I was just like, wow. You know, and good for you. My initial reaction was like, wow. Okay. And then afterward, I'm like, you know what? God bless him for loving himself, you know? And you do. You do have great hair.
It's because I've had many years of bad hair.
You make this up.
No, where, you know, because I usually like it short and then I get like, you know, it's like really like to my forehead or whatever. It's like really, it doesn't like poof out or whatever.
You
know,
great.
It's not
you
like styled. I don't usually style it, but I had like gel in there and I was like, I think there was a pink glow around me. Was there not a pink glow
sure.
around me?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So what? Forget about me.
Okay.
What does it mean to...
Tell me about you. You love talking about you. You are a little
maybe
pink.
I have a little... Maybe there's a little pink.
Yeah.
I think I might have been a pink kid. Could I have been a pink kid?
No. Maybe.
No?
Maybe.
All right. I don't like Disney, so that rules me out.
Well,
right?
Okay. Well, that's symptomatic of being pink. So let's
get
into
it. So what does pink mean?
All right. So pink auras... Okay. There's kind of... You know, I'll talk about... And as I've grown on the podcast, I've been able to explain this a lot better. There's what the pink aura, the pink energy means. And then there's like how it displays itself to us, like the symptomatic pink quality. So pink auras really are very fiercely protective of their inner child. They definitely enjoy and are able to be in a present moment easier than other energy colors. They are playful, just fun-loving, lighthearted energies. They're creative and they do things. They're just a lot like children in that they like to play and explore themselves through being playful. So society might call that superficial, but it's really how they discover themselves. I just had a reading with a lovely pink aura. She was a pink aura as a kid, and it's like emerging. And it's because she started an Instagram, like, just for fun, like, you know, like nails, like a nail account where she does nails. And what was interesting is during the reading, I was like, this is how you discovered yourself. Like, this is how you, like, Spirit was showing me, like, this is how you're getting insights about yourself. This is how you're doing self-discovery. This is, now, superficially, society might be like, oh, you're painting your nails different color. Like, you're, no, she's, this is truly, just like children do, how they find themselves as, you know, you give them a room full of toys and they're like, you know, be explore. That's what pink auras do at their base self. And then society ends up calling that and judging it and saying things about it.
All right. I mean, and that is interesting. And I do have another question here. So
okay.
You brought that up, and it does seem like, not me per se. I know in the beginning I said I care. I really don't. But other people,
I really don't.
Me, the red aura, I don't care about anything, you know, whatever. But other people do seem to care more about, like, pink auras,
yeah,
than, let's say, the other aura cards, the greens or reds or something.
Yeah, this is why you care. Like, the collect, even if you personally don't care, like, because you personally,
no,
Scott,
no.
You find everyone equally nonsensical.
Exactly. All aura colors are equal in my eyes.
Well, yeah, not...
Okay? All aura colors, all aura colors are equal. Equality for all auras.
It's not even about that. It's, you just made it this okay. What it's really about is, oh my God, you got me off track. Okay, so
why do we care about pinks?
Okay, why do we care about pinks? Okay.
Or other people?
The collective consciousness does attach to pink auras. And it's this is what we're going to talk about today. Like, I feel like the playfulness or that the holding on to the inner child and the fierce protective nature of the pink aura, plus the ability to shut out other people's opinions about how they do all these things, makes them such a ridiculous target for society. So therefore, a lot of the pink aura playbook, like in society, you're going to see society like feels like they own them. They feel like they're allowed to have opinions about them. Now you're going to see this more in famous pink people, but in pink people in your own life, this is happening too. Like, they might have a partner who it feels like they own them. They might have a partner that, like, it's always like, so it has a lot of opinions. They might be very judged by a peer group. They may always feel like they don't fit in. They always find themselves like, everyone's jealous of me and I'm truly not trying to do anything to bother you. They might, like, just be really playful, that kind of thing. They're very protective of who they let in and stuff like that. But this, in celebrity world, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, they seem to get picked on a lot, right?
They get crazy picked on.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where people are obsessive, and they attack certain things. Like, they'll attack their sexuality. They'll attack their appearance. They'll attack the words they use. They'll attack their activities. They'll attack their choices. And a lot of it ends up boiling down to, you're immature, you're naive, you're silly, you're foolish, you have no filter. Finally, is there something wrong with this person mentally?
Okay. Could it, and this is just me adding my 2 cents here. Could it be like a jealousy thing? Is this is it jealous? Because I know you say a lot of times that there's pinks when they're young, when you're younger, maybe you're pink. And that eventually turns to another color. I know a lot of times you say it turns to like a purple.
Yeah.
But could it be that the people that are always attacking them are jealous? I don't know.
100 million percent.
Yeah.
Think about it this way. Here's my analogy for everyone listening. Think about, like, and you got to go there for a second with me. Hopefully you can. Remember when you were a little kid? Maybe I would say most little kids at some point in their little kid life wanted to gather everyone together and be like, oh, watch me perform. I'm going to sing for you. Or I'm going to do a sword fight in front of you guys. Or I'm going to, I don't know, like something performative, right? And you'd sit everybody down and you're like, watch me, watch me. And as you get older, you get the feeling like that's cringy. Like, people don't want, you're like, what, you're taking up too much space in the room. You know, people start to snicker, or they're like, this isn't a time for you right now. It's not cute anymore. Okay. And then what happens is you internalize, like, oh, I guess it's just, I'm too old for that. that's not cute anymore. I got to put it away. You never wanted to stop doing that. You just got told to put it away in so many words. Pink Auras never put it away. They never put it away. And when little kids do that, they're not trying to be cooler than you. They're not trying to take something away from you. They're not trying to one-up you or make you feel jealous. They're just trying to play. And it gets misinterpreted by people that put it away and now are jealous. This is such a subconscious agreement that I feel like a lot of us can relate to when somebody's, and pink auras, they tend to wear the outfit or do the thing or say the thing or make the choice or whatever they do. And inside, there might be a part of you that's like, that's inappropriate, that's immature, I'm too old for that, you know, whatever those things are. And then you see somebody else just so blatantly doing it.
So basically what you're saying is, society has crushed the dreams of all of us, reds, greens, yellows, blues, indigos, except for the pink, who has somehow been able to rise above that and still be and do what they want.
Think Never Never Land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter Pan. He was pink, right?
He was. Pink, yeah. Like if Peter Pan were real, he'd be pink. Okay. That's like my pink aura boy.
So maybe I was pink because my dad, growing up, all he ever used to call me was Peter Pan.
Peter Pan syndrome.
He said, there goes Peter Pan again. There goes Peter Pan.
Yeah. But it was negative. It was kind of like, was it positive or negative?
I think it just meant
They
always joke that I was Peter Pan. Yes. I don't know that it was negative. Maybe it was negative. I don't know. I mean, I know I wasn't pink, but I think it was more of the, I think in my own way, and I was, you know, like I said, I just started getting going about a few years ago. You know, it's only been like 5 years since I've actually been able to think like logically and reasonable and come up with ideas and all that stuff. But I was a very late bloomer.
Your spiritual awakening was about 5 years ago.
Yeah, my spiritual awakening was like 5 years ago. And I was living in like a fog before that for all those other years, many years. Not that many. But he used to call me Peter Pan, meaning like I never wanted to grow up.
Yeah.
And I'm not a pink aura, though. I'm a red blue.
But don't we all want to – think Neverland. You said like it crushes everybody, right?
Yeah.
Think Neverland. Like what's the appeal of that whole thing? Pink stayed on Neverland and the rest of us had to go and grow up.
But why – I did try to stay in Neverland
a
long, long time.
You did.
I wasn't pink, but I did try. Maybe if I was pink, I'd still be there.
Yeah.
But
– but you're back now. I think that's a little –
I'm not in Neverland anymore. I want to go back to Neverland.
I know. We all do. That's the appeal of
– being pink.
Of being pink, it's like you kind of stayed there. You stayed there. You remembered it. And you know, like in Peter Pan, like they all forget it. It's like a little memory. Like, you know, in the end of the cartoon, Peter Pan, the Disney one, the dad's like, I feel like I've seen that ship many years ago or whatever. That's him remembering.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we left behind. And Pink's didn't leave it behind. And just like that dad in Peter Pan, you probably don't remember the last scene, but a lot of people do. Like he sees the cloud in the sky. He's like, I feel like I remember that ship from a long time ago. That's what pinks make us remember. So we want to own them.
Right.
And we're like, I want to keep you. You're like a touchstone to that, but then I don't have to be ridiculed. You can be the one that's ridiculed.
Right. Like I can hang out with you for the day.
I can hang out with you for the day and I can feel it. And you take all the hate from society and I just get the benefits. Yeah. And then I can go back to my world and be like, oh yeah, like that. Like,
right.
That's like the dad in Peter Pan. Like, I feel like we're all more that guy, you know, and you don't want to be that guy and you are that guy. And that's like the stress of that whole story. Yeah. You're like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't, but you are that guy. And so that's pink. Like they stayed on Neverland, Neverland. Right. I mean, that's my easiest way I can understand.
No, that makes total
sense. It's not, and I'm going to talk about this with the boy girl thing. Like, it's not about that. It's about keeping your childhood stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, it probably had to do more with not wanting to get older, because if you get older, then you eventually pass.
So yours is more mortality driven.
I think mine was more mortality.
Yeah.
More mortality.
Pinks, I don't think, have that problem.
Yeah, because that's why I'm not pink. I'm red.
Pinks are – well, everybody wants to go stay a kid. Everybody does. And I just did the inner child episode. Like, every kid is amazing. Like, every aura kid's amazing. It's just when you're a pink aura and you got to keep that. Like, it's like, oh my God, you kept it. Like, you kept it. Now, you're doing it in ways that maybe I wouldn't do it as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, the ways that, like a pink or adult is connecting to their inner child, that might not be my ways of connecting to my inner child, but you still see them connecting to their inner child. So it's like, oh, you know, like
All right. I got a couple things to add just before we go to the break.
Okay.
I just want to say, you know, I'm in the discussion groups, and we tell people their colors, nobody gets more excited. And when you tell a pink they're a pink, yes, they just go crazy. Like they're like they have like their fingers crossed. Please be pink. Please be pink. Please be pink. Please be pink. Please be pink.
All
and then when they
colors
get that confirmation, yes, that they're pink, they're like, yes, a pink. They are so excited to be pink. And then all of us that are like, yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I'm yeah red, yeah, so. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there is a pink chat out there somewhere. Oh, did you talk about it? You're
going
to talk about this? Okay, so there is a pink chat out there.
It's an elusive?
Yeah.
I told.
I tried to get in myself. I couldn't get in.
No, they won't let you.
They won't let me in.
I thought one of our pinks, Caprice, I talked to her about this. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, Caprice, are you in the pink or chat? And then she was like quiet for a while.
Like you can't.
And then she's like, I am. And I'm like, you know.
Do you know?
You guys should have fight. They should have fight club rules. And I think they do.
No, they do. Do you know that your name's on this podcast. You cannot get into the pink chat.
Oh, no.
You're not allowed in.
That's their thing.
No.
It's the elusive pink chat.
I tried. I pretended.
No. They know. They're good at
it. No, they knew me right away.
They'll throw you out and they don't care. They're like, bye.
Yeah, bye.
And I said it should be fight club. I told Caprice this. I said, the first rule of Fight Club is there is no Fight Club. Yeah. The first rule of Pink Chat is there is no Pink Chat.
Okay. And if you do hear some growling in the background, that is our two cats fighting it out right now. So I got to go break that up.
If this was a show, if we were able to somehow one day just film it, you wouldn't even understand knockout. Talk about Fight Club. The drag out fight I'm watching between the two cats right now.
I got to go break this up. You do the ads.
Hey, Scotty, what happened?
Well, I just broke up a huge cat fight. I got in there. I was like in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
It was rough and tumble. They're now out there. Yeah. I know.
Ooh.
I stink. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah,
ooh.
I got fur.
Okay.
I got fur in my under. That's not. Is that my armpit hair or is that fur?
Oh my
God. I need the Lumi.
It's time for the
Get
Lumi.
Get me some Lumi.
Well, it's not all your fault. I mean, it is a warmer season.
It's the cat's fault.
Okay. Well, you know, the sun's shining, birds chirping, and the spring air is warm, which means the sweat is upon us all. Thankfully, Lumi deodorant is here to keep us smelling nice when we need it the most. And where we need it most, I'm talking pits, privates, and beyond. Let's face it, our underarms aren't the only place that we have odor. Lumi was created by an OBGYN who discovered and proved in clinical testing that the vagina is not to blame for day-to-day odor below the belt. So she developed Lumi, a uniquely formulated pH-balanced deodorant, aluminum-free, skin-safe, and clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. And a special offer for you, new customers get $5 off Lumi starter pack with code KYA at LumiDeodorant.com. I love their body wash, too, so you're going to want to try that out. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash. I love that. And deodorant wipes, good for the gym, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code KYA at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant, that's L-U-M-E Deodorant.com, and use code KYA. Oh, spring. It is truly the time for renewal, and it is also a wonderful time to refresh your skincare routine. I've done that with Osea's Ocean Eyes Serum. I mean, it's an amazing place to start. Nothing says more refreshed than bright, wide awake looking eyes. Listen, I wake up and I'm so dry in the morning. Like my skin's dry, my throat, everything's dry. Everything just feels so dry. And I will put my, splash water on my face, and then I put like my Ocean Eyes Serum, and it brightens, it smooths, depuffs. Like I feel my eye skin just like absorbing it immediately. I look immediately woken up. And I just love Osea's mission of clean, seaweed-based, vegan skin and body care products. And you will too. Once you get on it, you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I find this earlier? So find it now. Ocean Eyes Serum, it's like a shot of espresso for your eyes. And then it comes with this amazing like cooling roller ball too, which refreshes and awakens your whole eye area. Osea has been making seaweed-infused products that are safe for your skin and planet for over 27 years, All their products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, climate-neutral, powered by seaweed, and conceived in California, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. So spring into your most radiant skin yet with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea, and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to Osea, O-S-E-A, Malibu.com and use code KYA for 10% off. So Scott and I, we just spoke about what it means to be have a pink aura and why society tends to get obsessed about them. So we just talked about that. So now I'm going to talk about a couple things. I'm going to talk about some frequently asked questions about pink auras. I'm going to talk about pink problems. I'm going to talk about some pink language that we've come up with over at the Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family. I'm going to talk about the shades of pink and what the different pink aura combos can mean and what they look like. Because even though we end up talking about this like in celebrity a lot, because that's just the easiest way for us all to have a conversation about it, is people like we all know and can relate to. Trust me, in your own life, you have some pink aura people. So it's nice to kind of know, okay, what do they look like? Maybe I'm pink. Maybe I've been repressing it. Maybe I can let it out. Maybe, you know, someone in your family could understand themselves better if they just understood the pink aura thing, because it really does release a lot of shame. And where does the shame come from? Okay, so let's start with frequently asked questions about pink auras. And the first one is, hey, why are they always white women? Okay, I only see what I see. Okay, like a lot of times this is just how it works. Like I see auras around people and I have to kind of like use my brain and understanding and educate myself to explain it back, which is why I don't see a lot of yellow aura black men. That's a whole other thing. I've talked about that in like the trauma episodes and stuff. And I don't see a lot of pink auras unless they're adult white women. Now, there are pink aura kids of every gender, every race, every nationality. I'll see that. But into adulthood, the overwhelming majority, and there aren't a lot of pink auras to begin with, tend to be white women. So why is that? And that's society. It's just the way things are. How do I explain that? So there is a place for pink auras if they fit some stereotypical roles that society has deemed collectively. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm just saying that this is what I know. This is what I've theorized this, that if you act kind of like, I don't know, entertaining or a little like stereotypical female. So like you're a cartoon, you're a caricature of yourself. You're like a cartoon of yourself. You're the stereotypical woman in cartoons, then people are like, oh, you know, so that's why it kind of boils down to if you have a Disney princess personality or Playboy bunny personality, like those different kind of stereotypical society driven, not super functional roles for women welcome the pink aura. And pink auras might subconsciously be like, oh, I fit there. Oh, I find acceptance there. Oh, I can carry on that role and live in my joy bubble and live in my fantasy there. And they can get stuck there and pigeonholed there. And so that's why I see mostly white women as pink auras. I feel like it's just society has whittled it down. Now, that feels really sad, because my next frequently asked question is, like, are any boys pink? Listen, I will see pink aura boys, like little boys. And like, it's hard to explain. Like a pink aura boy or a pink aura girl, they like to play. Now, all kids like to play. The difference is they like, pink auras like to carry that into adulthood. So this gets you into trouble when you're an adult. Because I feel like, again, because society will put up with that from women longer than it will from men. So that whole kind of like, here, I'm in a cute outfit and I'm performing for you guys. Like when you're six and you're a girl, or you're six and you're a boy, society's like, okay, let's watch, you know. But and then they'll tolerate that as you get older a little bit more as a woman versus as a boy. Because then what happens? They start to kind of everyone, even your parents, everybody will start to discourage that behavior because of, you know, gender stuff. So I really feel like society plays a huge role in the pink thing. Now, if that sounds really sad, it is. But at the same time, I will say it's gotten better because I can see auras as long as there's photographs. So looking at kids from, I don't know, when did photographs start? Like 1850s, like around there. Because I love looking at old pictures of people and being like, what was going on with their aura? Totally different. Like back then, you see like a lot of just a hazy kind of blue aura kid. And it's very conformity driven. And now at least I am seeing pink aura kids at all. And I do see pink aura boys. It's just, I feel like society kicks it out of you a lot earlier when you're a boy. And that's why I just don't see a lot of pink aura men. But there are some, and we can talk about it next part. A pink aura boy, just like a pink aura girl, like I said, they like to play. So sometimes I'll say, all right, like Peter Pan vibes. All right, like, you know, it's like a... And it doesn't mean if you're a pink aura boy, you're into, quote, girly things. It means you're really just all in on playing. You are all in, and you love fantasy, and you love, and you know you're playing, and you're protective of playing. That's a big thing. Like, I notice pink aura kids, they're like, yeah, obviously, we're playing. Do it right. Okay, that's not the rule. You don't get magical powers and all of a sudden you're invisible in the game of tag. It's not going to work that way. They're very strict about their playing. And that's kind of a big thing with pink aura boys or girls. So that's really the characteristic of being pink. It's like you're very protective of your childhood innocence, of your childhood jobs of playing and discovering and having fun and living in like fantasy land. And you understand there's adults and you understand that there's kids. Pink auras understand that more than anyone. And they want to keep that separate. Like, I do not want to be you. I want to be a kid and I want to stay this way, which is really sweet. But think about that. Think about what that looks like if you're like a 12-year-old boy and you're talking, you're acting like that. What does society do to you? What do your peers do? What do teachers do? What do parents do? What do your neighbors do? Like, you know, what is TV? What does media tell you about yourself? So that's what I mean when society kicks it out of you and why there might be more of a space for it when you're a female versus male. All right. So like I said, I only see what I see. I only see what I see. So that's what I see. And that's why I think that's how it is. Okay. Three. Oh. Why do pinks tend to go kind of stereotypical? I touched on this like just a little bit ago. You know, they might dye the hair a certain way, like, you know, blonde or the pink, or they might just go for it. They're always cute, but they kind of go for shock value or extreme, like a little kid. What hair color did you want when you were 4? All right, now you're 35. What care? You know, if you didn't lose that, you know, what color would your hair be right now? You have the money for it. Nobody tells you no. And you still are like 4 years old about it. Like, that's why pink auras go for it. They're like, I want these streaks. I want unicorn hair. I want pink hair. I want platinum blonde. I don't care that my hair is black. Do it. Okay, so think about that. Because pink auras have the budget and nobody telling them no. And they still have that kind of that vibe, which is like, I'm going to do what I want. This is awesome. I'm going to have birthday cake for dinner. All right. So they kind of go, they wear fashion, not for comfort. It's just like a little kid. Like when you were a little kid, I know, you know, having kids and being around kids, being around my kids' friends. I mean, if you want to go out in a full-on pirate costume, or, you know, your Captain America outfit or Spider-Man or your Princess Belle to go to the mall. Like, that's what you're wearing. All right. I just talked to somebody. It was so funny. And her daughter is pink and it's not Halloween, but she's like, I need to wear this Halloween shirt. And it was like, okay, you know, I guess that's, you know, we're going for the holiday today, you know, whatever it is, but they're adults. So I think that that's funny. And they'll just do it. They don't wear it for comfort. They wear it to make themselves feel something really good. Kind of like, and sometimes it's like to embody a mood or a vibe or a character or just like where they want to be right now. They find a lot of fun in fantasy. All right. So these are kind of the stereotypical pink stuff and how it plays out. Like they love fantasy. So that's why they do tend to get, I'll see, you know, a Comic-Con or Dungeons and Dragons stuff, okay? You know, Disney, obviously, like things like that. They get holidays, like pink auras love a holiday, birthday parties for little kids. I mean, they get into it. I've read so many interesting pink auras. I've talked about this one before. Yeah, I've read Pink Aura, who she works as a clown, okay, for little kids' parties. They love to live in the fantasy. And that's where they find themselves. And that's where you connect with them. So it's not fake. It's actually a very real place to find them, just like when you sit down and you play with a little kid. That's like the best way to connect with a kid, you know, play with them. They love to dress up, and they do it. They do it for themselves, and they do it for you. Like, let's make this special. I'm going to look cute, all right? Pink auras love to dress up, and they have like really playful attitudes, and they know it. They might shift their voice around for you or themselves. It's really everything they do is honestly for their own. Comes from here, but if they like you, they want you around for it. So they might shift their voices, they might play little games with you, they might do role-playing stuff like a little kid. But they're aware, like they're cognitively developed people and adults. So just, they're aware that they're doing it, just like kids are aware that they're playing too. It's just like kids, like, that's why it's sometimes it's easier to understand pink auras if you think of a kid. Like, would I call out what my kid for playing with me? Like, hey, you're using a robot voice with me right now. And like, no, they'd be like, yeah, I know, I'm playing. Get with it. All right. And like, pink aura adults can be like that too. They're just like fun. And frequently asked questions, why do pinks manifest so well? Pink auras do. If you didn't know that, pink auras manifest so well. You can see all these pink auras in the news and you're like, how'd they get famous? How do they have their own reality show? Like, how do they have this following? How are they an influencer? Like, how are they? Because that's the space that they really do work best in, because those are the most actually easy to manifest in spaces. Believe it or not. Fame, money, attention. They can use these things really easily because they go into, they're kind of their fantasy land. And what gets in the way of the law of attraction? Your own 3D logic. Now, we all need that logic. So your ego logic, we need it. Keeps food on the table, keeps your phone turned on. Okay, those things are necessary. Pinks don't live there though. And I guess the plus side of that is it's easier for them to manifest quicker, bigger, better, more obviously.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Pink problems. That does lead to pink. That sounds like problems, right? Well, it does lead to problems. You know, nobody doesn't not have problems. So these are some pink aura problems. Pink auras learn very early on that a lot of people don't want to help them. It's hard being pink. If you kept your pink from childhood to adulthood, you learned how to get real stubborn, protective, and kind of closed off about it. Because you know that a lot of people are coming for you. You've already heard all the nasty things about yourself. You've been left out. You know that people think you're cognitively impaired or kind of like a dimwit or ditzy or whatever words you've already heard. You already know that. So you kind of can close off from it. And because of that, you learn early on, like, okay, people don't want to help me. They're actually jealous or triggered or they think I'm trying to be something I'm not. So it's sad. And they learn that early on, which makes it easy for them to receive things without questioning it, but harder for them to give. So I do notice that's a pink aura problem. They can kind of shut themselves off. Like, they're very friendly. I often say this to myself in my own head. Like, a pink won't hurt you, but a pink won't necessarily help you. It really depends. If they know you, if you're already in their circle, they'll do anything for you, of course. It just takes them... There's more layers to the pink. They're kind of like onions, okay? Like in Shrek. They're like onions, and you have to peel the layers. And then when they trust you, they're like, okay, you're not going to leave me, call me a name, or have a preconceived notion, or try to own me, which is the other thing that happens to pink auras. That's a pink aura problem we're going to talk about. Then they'll let you in. Then they'll give more to you. So they're just not right off the bat as giving, possibly, as other people are. They do have an escapism. I'm going to say that's a good thing and a bad thing. Depends how they use it. I call it the joy bubble. So pink auras will go into their joy bubble. It is their own bubble of joy. And they're really good at separating reality, with quotation marks, from where they're at. They'll do this during trauma. They'll do this to play. They might stay in there a little too long. And that's when the problems happen. Because then in the joy bubble, other people start making assumptions and creating narratives about them. Oh, she's bimbo, ditzy, disorganized, superficial, because they don't really have it in them to fight, and they're in their joy bubble. They don't even notice. So the whole world can happen around them, and they come out. It's like they've been in a time machine or something. It's their joy bubble machine. And they're just like, what happened? I'm in this marriage, and what is he doing with our money? My friends are saying, what about me? What's happening with work? Why didn't my bills get paid this month? What happened? They're like, what? You know, so that is a pink aura problem. You can stay in the joy bubble a little too long. It's a coping mechanism. They can also be seen as spacey. Sometimes I do call it La La Land pink. Like, if I'm reading somebody and they're like, here's my sister. And I'm like, well, she's pink. She's a little La La Land. And they're like, yeah. It's not a bad thing. It's just like they're in kind of like, poop, la, la, like a kid. How many times have you been around a kid and they're kind of in their own world? But the second you're like, and bedtime's in 15 minutes, and they snap right back to it. They're like, no, it's not. You know, like, they come right back. Pink aura is the same way. They can kind of, you might think they're not paying attention, but they are. It's like they're in their La La Land. Having said that, it can make the normal struggles of that we all have more apparent or worrisome for other people. Like, think like mental health stuff. Like, if you have like mental health issues, like, oh, like, everybody has, but some people have it worse than others. And then you're in kind of La La Land about it. People around you are like, okay, we have to take, you know, like, a conservatorship out of you, or we have to Baker Act you, or we have to, like, they can get like, whoa, real intense a lot quicker. And then you're in your joy bubble, and by the time it's all happening, you're like, well, wait a second. You know, so I see that struggle a lot with pink auras. They're very protective of their space and bodies. This is, so they can have a heart. They don't always trust people helping them, including professionals. And this is because this is a societal issue with pink auras. I see a lot of pink auras, especially when they were kids. This is really sadly taken advantage of in lots of different ways. And I mean, just too numerous to talk about, but we'll just keep that general. And so what happens is they get older and someone's like, oh, hey, I got this great therapist. Or and they're like, no, 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 no. Don't touch me. Don't come into my space. Don't tell me what to do. Very, very, very stressed and scared of it, which is understandable. But they're so used to being seen as people think they own pink auras. So that's why, back to the whole, it's hard for them to receive. And it takes them a while to get to know you and open up and trust. Because if they lasted into adulthood with that pink aura, they've been seen as a piece of meat, a piece of property, an accessory, not human, trophy partners. I mean, you name it. So they're very, don't let new people in, even if they're like medical professionals. And finally, and I'm super not a medical professional myself, and I don't claim to be, and I love therapy and I love doctors. But it's kind of like, it feels like a disassociative vibe sometimes with pink auras when they've gone through a lot of trauma or something. They'll just retreat from reality so well that it's become kind of like something that they just go into and don't even realize they're doing it, which can make them more susceptible and vulnerable to the wrong types of people stepping in then and taking advantage of that. All things I see on the downside of being a pink, but there's lots of good things about being a pink aura. Like, we talked about them, they manifest brilliantly. They're very chill. They do not judge you. They're extremely loyal, especially once you're in. Honestly, pink auras don't gossip. They don't talk about other people a whole lot. They're not about that. If anything, they want to talk about their joy bubble or their own stuff or like what they're into or their moments. And if other people are a part of that, they want to talk about that with them. That's why I see a lot of them at like Comic-Con or Disney people or like whatever. It's like, oh, let's talk about this together. You know, that's what they like to talk about. They can be very, very stubborn. People are like, oh my God. You know, because the way I think I've talked about pink, especially early on, it was like, oh, they're like Disney princess vibes. It's like, oh, they must be so sweet. Well, not so honestly, they're very stubborn. They're sweet, but they're very, very stubborn. And it's okay. They just are really good at putting their foot down and then stepping into their joy bubble. So they don't care if you have a problem with that or not, which I think is really funny. They have an it factor vibe. They're not trying to get the attention that they constantly get, okay? It's just coming at them. Hence why there are a lot in the entertainment industry, reality TV, singers, all that kind of stuff. There's just some je ne sais quoi about them. There's something about them. They love kids and animals. Just love them. Kids love them and animals love them. And old people probably too. they kind of like vibe through the BS of our 3D society and show up to you as like real. And it's so funny because usually they're very playful. So you're like, oh, they must be fake. No, they're really, really real. And kids and animals like flock to it. They're very, like I said, they're non-judgmental. They usually find a crowd with other non-judgy people. And you know, I think it's because a lot of pink auras, famous pink auras, tend to be icons. Even if they're not LGBTQ themselves, I see a lot of LGBTQ people loving, like think like Marilyn Monroe or Paris Hilton or whatever. Like, you know, they find themselves being, I mean, not Paris Hilton, but definitely Marilyn Monroe. And I mean, I'm off the top of my head, I can't think, but you know, they tend to be a lot LGBTQ people are like, oh, you know, Dolly Parton. Okay. They want to kind of come at, you know, they feel welcome and embraced because they are, because pink auras don't care when they're in the right spot, when they're in a good space, they don't care. Britney Spears. All right. An icon for everybody, but I also see them a little special spot in LGBTQ because it's like, they know what it's like to be kind of lonely and set apart. And I feel like that group does too. So they kind of find each other. They get it. They love to shock people. They do. They're kind of like purples that way. So pinks and purples have that in common. They like to kind of just do something different or wear something or be, you know, they don't care. They're like, oh, they do it not to make you feel bad about yourself. They do it to make you feel happy or excited or to shock you or surprise you or make you believe in magic again. So they're coming to the Halloween party in the cutest outfit, not to make you feel bad about yourself or not creative. It's to make you feel like, oh my God, like you put so much time into that. Like, that's so cool that somebody does that. You know, like, there's still magic in the world. You did that. That's why I love, like, pink aura teachers, pink aura party planners, because they're good with the moments. They're good with the little things. They're good. They make magic. They do things. They're very creative. They love to do things outside the box because they don't think inside the box because they've never been invited in the box. So that's just normal for them to kind of think outside it. They love being in the present moment. They're super good at it. They want you to come into their joy bubble. Once they trust you, you come on in to my joy bubble with me. And, oh, trends. Let's talk about clothing trends and pink auras. Now, a lot of them that we talk about seem to kind of fit some sort of Barbie vibe or something. That can happen. But honestly, what I see with pink auras, especially the younger ones, they find a trend and they stick with it. It might be like Y2K fashion. They'll stick with it though a lot. Or they're like 1950s or something. Like they'll kind of go into whatever the trend is and like hit it hardcore to the point where it's like, wow, you really embody that aesthetic. So they're kind of like aesthetic trend, but they go all the way. It becomes like part of their personality. They really play at it. They're good at it. It's fun. It's cute. Okay. Oh. And this is really fun. So in the Mystic Mikayla spiritual family, we have a very elusive, I don't even know where they exist or meet or talk, pink aura chat. And on our Facebook page, they came up with, like, one day out of the... They're very elusive, okay? They're very mysterious. I think that's funny. And they come up, they came to our page one day. Like they appeared and they had, like, a spokesperson. They're like, here's our Pink Aura Manifesto, they called it. And it is... You can look it up, and it's in, I think, like, the trending, I don't know, it's tagged somewhere on the Facebook page. I don't understand how to find it, but you can find it. But one of the things they came up with, so I have to give them credit, is something called the Pink Aura Punch. And I love this explanation. It's just kind of like, when they're done, they're done. So pink auras can take a lot, but when they are done, they will just punch out. And you're just like, where'd that come from? What's going on? Like, what's happening? I see this, like, with Lisa from Real Housewives of Miami. Like, she was in her joy bubble. You know, her husband did mean things to her. And she was just like, okay, bye, punch, leave him, living my best life. And she's not going to back down. Like, she's going to do what she's got to do to protect her assets and interests. And you're just like, where'd that come from? Like, yeah, she wasn't so easy to walk over like you thought she was. And pink auras are not that easy to walk all over. Kind of like the Pamela Anderson documentary. We'll talk about that more coming up. She's not that easy to walk over. Like, she will fight. She will fight. Let's talk about shades of pink. You know, this is what I've seen. All right. So I've seen kind of a floaty, misty shade. So these are like playful pinks. They're experimenting with their pink. They kind of exist. They might not be as aware of their pink aura powers. They might be coming into them, or they just kind of like whenever I see like a floaty, misty pink aura, I want to pep talk them. I'm like, you have a pink aura. Sit down with me. Like, we have to talk because you have all these powers we have to unlock. Kind of like that. Very sweet, very childlike, very innocent, just like really kind, really sweet. Bubblegum pink. That's like poppin' pink. They are fun, dynamic, very much here to make a statement. They know they feel different. They know I'm different. I know that. Like, they're aware. But they know they don't fit in. But they also try, you know, they stopped trying to do that a long time ago. So bubblegum pink, they're like just like a fun kind of dynamic kind of vibe. All right. Hot pink. Ooh, hot pink. That's like Barbie core straight up. Little hot mess pink. Like, I talk about hot mess purple. Might be kind of more like hot mess pink. But they rein it in quick. People flock to the hot pink auras. That, like, society, people, they just flock. They're the most judgmental people will find the hot pink people and just, like, ruin their lives with their nonsense and rumors and just attack them. It's bad. Sparkly pink, embracing their pink from childhood. That's kind of what it means. Feeling creative, dabbling in it, curious about it, taking it out when they want to, using it for inspiration. So those are the four shades I see. But it really does matter. It does matter, like, what your combo is. So there's pink yellow. So people say, like, well, if you're pink yellow, what's your empath color? Well, pink, I call it like a vowel color. You know, like Y, A, E, I, O, U, and sometimes Y. All right. So it's like blue, indigo, purple, turquoise, and sometimes pink. So with pink yellows, like, they're very empathic. They're very sweet, but they're pink yellow. So these ones I find making it in the industry and in the world a little easier than the other pink aura combos because they have the yellow, and the yellow takes over and can organize their pink creativity. So I'll see them in, you know, social media marketing or event planning or anything like artistic, but with a direction. So they're the best at, like, getting influencers or interior design, stuff like that. So pink yellow is a very functional, probably the most functional of the combos in terms of how they function in society, you know, just how our 3D world. But then there's pink blue. I love pink blue. I see a lot of pink blue kids. And then the pink will turn to purple or something. Because pink blues are so sweet. They're so kind. They don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They're very playful. They're the most childlike, I would say. They love animals and children. Like, they're very altruistic. That's the Disney. That's kind of the Disney vibe, if I was going to pick one. Like, pink blue. Just very sweet. But then I'll see, like I said, a lot of pink blue kids, and then they'll boot the pink out for purple. because people don't understand pink. They understand purple. Even parents and stuff. It's hard to have a pink kid because you feel like you have to eradicate the pink sometimes to erase them. To erase the pink or eradicate the pink to protect them. It actually does erase a part of them. But you can't help it because, like, when you're a parent or if you had parents that did this, they were just trying to, honestly, 9 times out of 10 help you. And so they don't mean to. It's just that when you're pink blue, you're very sweet. And people take things from you. You're like, okay, you know, or, you know, you're 11 and you still want to go to the, you know, I don't know, the American Girl doll. You know, you're 11, 12, 13. You're still playing with Barbies. And, you know, your caregivers might be like, don't you want to care about jeans now? Don't you want to care about shoes yet? Don't you want to care about this music artist? And they're like, no, I want this Barbie. You're like that. So it's kind of people trying to make you grow up quicker. Anyways, pink, purple. They're fun. They are fun. You love the pink purples. They're a good time. Okay. If they get a partner or somebody in life that's like understands them, loves them, respects them, gives them room and helps them kind of like be themselves, but also stay safe, I see them doing so well. Otherwise, I see them getting taken advantage of the most of all these in a lot of ways, even over pink blues, because like the blue will adapt or whatever. Pink purple is like you got the, it's like double punch stubborn, you know, double punch creative, double punch it factor, double punch intuitive. You're not organized. Although I will say pink auras, pink and yellow do share a lot of tendencies when it comes to knowing what looks good and stuff like that. I will say that. But pink purple, you guys are a fun crew. And you just got to watch your friends, watch your relationships like harder than anyone else. Okay, let's talk about some pink auras that we all know and take interest in. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
So before we talk about some pink aura celebrities and whatnot, hey, you know what's for dinner tonight?
Wait.
Yep.
Wild.
Yep.
Wild grain.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I think wild grain is pink. That brings out the pink in me.
It brings out the pink in
me. My good hair and now this.
I know.
Perfect day. Well, croissants. I love it all. Sourdough bread. Everything. I love everything.
It is. It truly is like a fam favorite over here.
No, someone asked me on the discussion group the other day, like, what about wild grain? It's the best.
Like, you don't understand.
You understand.
Like getting a box of wild grain, yes. It's like Christmas. It's like, ooh. Yes. Wild grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Unlike typical supermarket bread, I mean, you can't go back. We can't go back. Wild grain uses a slow fermentation process that's easier on your belly, lower in sugar, and rich in nutrients and antioxidants. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less. You'll never run the risk of getting bored with wild grain. They're constantly adding new seasonal and limited time special items to try. Plus, for every new member, Wild Grain donates 6 meals to the Greater Boston Food Bank so you can eat good and do good all at the same time. All you have to do is sign up at wildgrain.com/KYA and choose which type of box you want to receive and how often. It's easy to reschedule, skip, or cancel. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/KYA to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/KYA. That's wildgrain.com/KYA. Or you can use promo code KYA at checkout. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right. So
you gave me this list.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know we were recording, actually.
Oh.
I thought we were.
We are recording. Yes. Oh, okay.
So you gave me this list of the different shades of pink. I think you divided it into basically 4 main categories of pink, kind of like when you did with your greens, like chameleon green and CEO green.
Right.
And then you gave me the celebrities because you knew I wouldn't know who they were under each one. So let's go through those shades.
Okay.
And some of the celebrities in each
that represent
category.
The shade.
All right. So the first one you gave me was floaty / misty pink.
Mm-hmm.
And in there was Pam Anderson.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
Charlie
D'Amelio.
I don't know who that one is. Or TikToker maybe.
Right.
But yeah, okay. I know at least 2 of these. So that's pretty good for me.
Yeah. So Pamela Anderson. She has a pink aura. She's also like blue and a little purple too. And I feel like the purple might have come from her trauma and just being in the, you know, what happened to her as a kid. If you watch that Netflix documentary, it's like fascinating. And she, and the floaty misty pink thing with her. I feel like if you kind of connect with her vibe, all right, especially if you're watching the documentary, it's kind of easier to do that. But even if you didn't watch it and you're just kind of like, oh, Pam Anderson, her, there, a lot of it is like, is she aware? Is she here? Is she ditzy? Is she attached to reality? Is she like people, I feel like, just don't trust her judgment at all. Very easy to write her off. Very easy to see her as a no one, even though she's extremely famous, you know, kind of like a cartoon character of a woman or something like that. But really, that is the downfalls of when you have kind of a floaty, misty aura. Like, but people would probably say she's very nice or she's very sweet, or, and she is, you know, and she is. So that's kind of the vibe she has, which is like that floaty, misty, sweet, childlike, innocent, but also the way society views all those things and puts their projected hate on it and turns it into all those negative things I just said about her. Okay. So I think she's a really good example of that floaty pink. And she kind of, floaty pinks too, they feel like they kind of float around life a little bit. Even Charli D'Amelio, like, how did that happen? Like, why? You always say, like, how is she famous?
Well,
like,
yeah, okay, yeah. So now that I'm thinking about it, in the beginning you said, in the opening you said something about, like, owning.
Yeah.
Like, we like to own pinks. Yes. And put them, like, on display or whatever.
Yeah.
She, like, that one, she's the TikToker, right?
Yeah.
She feels like she could be that one of those.
Yeah, well, her dad is probably, like, put her on
display. Right. And, you know, she, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could be one of those.
And Pam Anderson, too. You know, yeah. Like, it's just kind of like that feeling of, like, oh, where am I going now? Where am I showing up? What am I doing? And whenever Pam would put her foot down, then, oh, forget it. And you see that more if you watch the documentary. It's really fascinating. Then she gets, because shades can change, just like with all of us, shades can change. I would say she's the majority of time she's got that pink floaty thing going on. But I can see her going to that hot pink where people start attacking her, you know, especially during the whole when that tape was released with her and Tommy Lee, and she was going to court and fighting it and stuff like that. Then she was more like feisty. So yeah, so that's kind of what that feels like.
Interesting. And then you had Anna Nicole Smith on there. I mean, that was like before, I think that was way before social media.
Yeah, that
was. She was like huge.
I want to say she died in like even like 2004 or something like that. Because I remember it was all over the television. People were obsessed with like details of this poor woman's life. Like, you know, and she was just, again, like that floaty kind of vibe. Like, well, maybe I'm here now. And maybe I'm here now. Maybe I'm here. Maybe I'm with this person. Maybe I'm that person, you know. And she obviously had other issues at play too, with addiction or, you know, and whatnot, and God knows what else, the poor woman. But the sick attention that society puts on it, and that part, I feel like looking back, is upsetting. And then you see it playing out with people who are alive, like Pam Anderson. You're like, oh my God, like that could have been you. Like, she survived that, because Anna Nicole went through that and died, and Pamela Anderson went through that too and survived it. It's amazing. But, and then you also see kind of the difference, because Charli D'Amelio, I feel like she has protectors around her.
Okay.
Like, strong. And I just talked about this. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It's just what I see. If you're a pink aura with a support group of actual caring people who love you, or at least have it together for you, around you, you're better off in a lot of ways. And I don't want to say, like, pinks have to depend on that. Like, there could be good, you know, like, look at Pamela Anderson. Like, she's a very independent pink person and she's doing well. But, you know, it was a journey for her. I think it's society makes it hard for pink auras not to be leaning on someone all the time, because they've told you how dumb you are and how incapable and that. So you end up, like, seeking somebody else out to own you.
Okay. All right. Next we have the bubblegum pink. And on that list you have Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Caitlin Bristow.
Yes.
And Holly Madison.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you say, they're here to make a statement. They feel different. They don't usually fit in, or they stopped trying to fit in a long time ago. Are they business pink almost? Because it seems like those are, I know Dolly Parton is a big businesswoman.
Yeah.
Like, she's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think Caitlin Bristow has a few businesses.
Yeah.
Holly Madison.
I don't know as much about her.
Yeah, I don't know. Who is she again?
But she was one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends, but she made it like really big, you know?
And she's into business.
I think she's
a
podcast now and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about her, honestly, but I would say, okay, so bubblegum pink auras, and I'll do Dolly Parton. She's a good example. Like, they're self-aware. They figured it out, and Dolly is she's purple and pink, and she figured it out a long time ago. Like, you know what? I don't fit in, and like she flippin' stopped trying, and then made a whole theme park around it. You know what I mean? Like if you like this shade's great for using your pink in a way that's marketable and I don't know, straightforward, in a way that, you know. Like, Dolly's a great example because, like, for a long time, people have been coming at her about her looks and her hair and her makeup and the way she acts and her body and whatnot. And she's had the comebacks forever. You know, like, she figured that out a long time ago. And she realized, like, that's my train. Like, this is the way I'm gonna use it. It's who I am, and I'm going to use it. So I think that shade, bubblegum pink, is a more self-aware about who they are, what they do, what they're into.
Okay.
And stay in a lane that works for them.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have hot pink. And you have down with Barbie core, a little hot mess pink.
Yeah.
People always look to flock to it. They get judged maybe the most.
Yeah.
Of anybody. And then you have down Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Cardi B.
Yes.
And Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
And then I have like a little asterisk of Jessica Simpson, but I think we're talking about her a little bit.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I obviously Britney Spears, I know I had the poster when I was a kid in my room, apparently.
When you were a kid. I think when I met you, you were 24. We already talked about this.
I don't remember that.
We talked about this.
I don't remember owning that poster. My hair does look real good. McDreamy. I am. Okay. So, all right. So her, I know. The other two, Brittany Murphy,
Cardi B. Okay. So hot pink, like this is the pink aura. Like, I think they know they're pink. Even with they don't know they're pink. They know they're pink. Like
they
that.
Know they're pink.
They know they're different.
Yeah.
They know nobody's going to understand them. They got a little chip on their shoulder about it, though. So they're going to be a little more aggressive, feisty, saucy, I like to call it, about who they are and what they do. And also, I'm going to rub it in your face. So Cardi B.
She rubs pink in our face.
Well, you don't know who she is.
No.
She's the WAP song singer. You know that song.
No,
okay.
Terrible.
Okay. Well.
Terrible song.
Okay. Well.
Terrible song.
Okay. Well, because you're a dad with little girls.
Yeah. Right,
so I think that bothers
you. Pink or no pink. Equality for all her colors. That should not be a song.
I love that song. I do. It's very catchy.
That's not music.
It's not for me. It's not something like I'm going to I would write or sing. It doesn't. But, okay. So let me back it up. Before all the females come at you, Scott.
All right.
When you're a pink aura, there's something that I see pink aura females do that Cardi B does probably the best. All right. So owning your sexuality is something that pink auras they do. And that's across the board with all. I didn't even go through all those. I could name sex scandals on every single one of those people that they've had.
Right.
If you think about it. Sex scandals, people attacking, with Dolly Parton, her chest.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Okay. All right. So I could name at every single one of these pink aura people where society came at them and had a lot to say about their choices, their body, and their sexuality.
Yes.
Cardi B just says it back. Cardi B, she's like, you know what? Yeah, you're going to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to shock you. And she actually was a stripper.
Okay.
Like, to make ends meet, like, when she was younger. And she's had so many controversies with, like, the things coming out of her mouth and things she said she did to survive and whatnot. But her the biggest thing with her is her pink aura is she puts her sexuality on display. And the number one thing people will say about her is how gross she is. Like, that's so gross how she says that. Da, da, da. But she's saying it before other people do. Society's disgusting.
No, I know. But here's that's fine. I understand that. And
what happened to Pam Anderson was she did not put out that tape on purpose.
Right,
society did that to her. Cardi B is just like, I'm going to do it first.
Okay. My only problem with this one, though.
Pink aura power.
With the Cardi B. And I've actually, I'll be honest, I've never listened to the song, the full song myself. My problem is that the audience for this is children. Like children, maybe she didn't intend
to be a child. No, she addressed this.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she, okay, and you can tell me what she says about it. It's not, I assume it wasn't intended to be children, but it's the kids, you know, under 18.
Yeah.
That listen to it.
Right.
And I have a problem with that. That it's so, because she's so, I assume, very famous and popular.
Right.
I think she's famous, right?
Very, oh, yeah. Famous. Oh, yeah.
That's my problem with it. Like, I don't want my 8-year-old Abby singing the song, not even knowing what it means or anything, but still singing that song.
I know.
And that's where I have a problem. It's not that she's singing about it. If she wants to do that on, like, her, you know, if she has OnlyFans or something, totally fine.
She does, actually.
Okay, there you
she
go.
She makes a ton of money over there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But all the power to her, because you got to be, I'm assuming you have to be 18 or something.
She's, like, number one. Yeah. But she doesn't even do what you think she does on there.
No, I don't. That's irrelevant.
She's more like creator.
No, I don't care what she does on it. You can do whatever you like. That's totally up to you.
Right.
All equality for all. But, well, okay, so what's the response that, you know, an 8-year-old could listen to this?
She's like, well, that's your problem. Like, why, you know, keep your kid away from music. Why? That's not my responsibility I'm not going to alter my art. Because
But that's why I say, but that's exactly right. That's why I say to the kids, that's not music. That because I don't want them to listen to that.
Well, by the way, there's been like, men have been writing, I mean, songs like WAP have been around for flipping years. Also, this argument's like, I think like 6 years old.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Like this song came out forever ago.
Whether you're pink or not, that's why I said, this is everyone.
Right.
Anyone who sings this.
Yeah,
type of music. Men, women, you know, women, whatever. Yes, I'd be upset. So this
across
the board.
She comes, so my point, like even that visceral reaction you just had makes so much sense.
Right.
Okay.
Fair.
Like that reaction you just had that's why I'm doing this episode. Because honestly, okay. Like I could also name 50 people that have sang songs that bad, but there's something about that song. And I know you're saying would say that about anybody.
Yeah, I would
saying.
Say it about anyone, but that's only the one I know because I know my kids know that song.
Right.
And I'm not, that I don't agree with.
I would agree,
anyone who sung a song like that, I would agree.
You know, I remember.
I don't know who else. I can't think of
I like
else,
big butts and I cannot lie. I mean, there's been songs like this forever.
Oh, no, we listen, on our, you know, this is our last road trip. We were listening to some Pitbull songs, Pitbull, you know, Mr. Worldwide. And there were some lyrics in there that, you know, Bree knew them, our older one.
Right.
And I was upset about it. I don't know if he's pink or not.
But who's the artist? Oh, my God. He sings like, you'll be a woman soon.
Oh, yeah. That's Neil Diamond.
That's not Neil Diamond.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Neil Diamond.
Ew, I just looked it up. You're right. Okay.
I mean, that creeps me
that's
out,
so
too.
Awful.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go back through time.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I took like a whole music.
That's more creepy.
But
than
I took like a whole music course in like college about this stuff. And WAP is nothing. Like you could even go back to like 1920s and they're like, whoa, they put that in
that,
a song.
You mean for the time.
Yeah,
or?
But even now, like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like the euphemisms they use and stuff. You're like, holy cow.
No,
like, this isn't like a new thing.
No,
she just there's just a target on her because she's pink.
Yeah,
that's but, like just there you go. Well,
and that one became very popular too. It's very popular.
It's very catchy.
More popular than some of these other songs.
It's a catchy song, though.
Okay. All right.
There's a Kidz Bop version. I'm gonna. There is a Kidz Bop version.
Okay. Look, I'm just saying.
I think it's about swimming in the pool or something.
All right.
But I'm gonna play it for you.
I don't. You know what? I could never. I tried to listen to the song. I got through like the first 20 seconds.
Okay.
And I just couldn't handle it.
All right.
Like I couldn't handle it.
This could have been an overtime WAP conversation.
Yeah, this could have been overtime.
Anyways,
all right.
That's my example. For that, because the hot pink ones, they know they bother you, and they also like love it.
Honestly, it doesn't bother. I don't really think about it on the
right
daily.
Now. All the pink auras are like blasting WAP. Okay,
yeah, all right.
They're like for blasting it.
As long as I'll be honest, as long as my kids don't listen to it, I don't care what happens.
They've heard it. Trust me.
I know they
Bree can rap it.
I know. And that's, I don't like
but
that.
I'm purple about these things. So as a mother, and everybody has the right to their own mothering, my way of dealing with it is like, this exists. There's no way you're not going to hear it. So let's like listen to it together.
You
and
have
just
to live
laugh.
A lifestyle.
We just laugh. We laugh. We laugh so hard.
You have to live my lifestyle where you live under a rock and you never heard it. You know, I would have, for you guys, I wouldn't even know it was a song.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
All right.
All right, the last one I have here, the last shade of pink. We don't even have to call overtime today. All right, the last shade of pink is sparkles. And I have down, I can't believe I'm talking about this stuff. Floaty, misty, bubblegum, hot pink, and sparkles.
Sparkles.
Okay, sparkles, embracing their pink from their childhood, feeling creative, they dabble in it, take it out when they can. And you have down Mariah Carey, Selena, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
All right. So I know all three of these.
All right. Let's talk about Mariah Carey. Okay. You know, here's the thing with sparkles. Like, and again, you shades change. You can be a hot pink and have sparkles, or a misty and be hot pink, or, you know, bubblegum, all that kind of stuff. All right. So there's a change. But I'm just trying to get, like, the best examples I can. All right. You know how, like, Mariah, like, you know, like, Mariah Carey, like, she does, how to explain it? Like, she's very, you know, she does her thing and people really come at her for being a diva. You know what I mean? Yes. And then she like retreats. All right. She retreats because she's blue too. So she'll retreat. She'll go into her world. She'll come out. And then, you know, that famous, it was like the year right before COVID, Times Square.
She botched it.
She's like, I'm done. She's like walked off the stage. It's just so funny. Or somebody, I forget who, somebody said like, hey, Mariah, you know, somebody said this mean thing about you. And she was like, who's that? And, like, she knew who it was, you know. So she's got kind of pink sparkle people. And, that, like, some of her songs, you know, are so pink. And they bring it out. They bring it out when they have to. And they put it away when they know that it's not going to be, like, when it's their prerogative. So they have more, like the sparkles with any aura color, it's kind of like you use it the way you want to. And it's through curiosity and it's like less, but also kind of like bursts of it. So that's like Mariah. Wait, who else did I have on there?
Yeah, Drew Barrymore.
Oh yeah. Drew Barrymore.
And Selena.
Yeah. Since Drew has had her show, and I did so many posts about this, like, but her pink is more and more and more and more and more. And it's come out a lot more, but I think, like, you know, her movies. Okay. Like her pink aura sparkle has always come out in her movies. Like, oh, like 51st Dates, you know, like any, that one where she goes back, I'm so bad you guys with my recall, but like where she goes back to high school.
Yeah. Well, I feel
Josie Grossi or like that kind of thing. Like she's so cute.
I feel when she's in a movie with Adam Sandler, she gets really sparkly. Yeah. Extra sparkly.
Yeah. Like Adam, a wedding Sandler singer. Yeah.
Brings out an extra sparkle.
I think he does too.
Yeah.
I think there is some debate, like, do you like Adam Sandler with Jennifer Aniston movies or Adam Sandler? I like Drew Barrymore.
I like Drew.
They're so cute together.
The ones with Aniston get a little dull and boring.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Yeah, but him and Drew.
I love those.
Yeah, the sparkles.
Yeah, they a lot of sparkles on both of them. I think they have fun together.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's real sparkly too. And then the last one, Selena.
Selena.
You know, Selena passed, and I feel like with her, she just lit something in people. So like very inspirational, and you know, just one thing about pink auras who pass, they stay with us. In a different way than I think other people do. Like, they become part of the culture, I think, because they put themselves so much into what they do and into their art. Oh, it really lasts. They have, like, a legacy. Like, think Marilyn Monroe. Like, there's, like, a legacy.
Oh, this is a great question. Now, I mean, I'm going to ask it. So that's a great question.
And I'm McDreamy.
It's my question. That's why it's great.
McDreamy has a great question.
Okay, so I noticed pretty much in every category there's someone who has passed tragically.
Mm.
Do pinks more than other aura colors, or is this just every aura color, tend to pass in more tragic ways? Because you mentioned Marilyn Monroe, and that's what it kind of hit me. And then you got Anna Nicole Smith, of course, and Brittany Murphy.
Right, Brittany Murphy.
And Selena.
Yeah.
Is it Is that a pink thing or is that just an everybody thing?
You know, I'd love the stats on that, but I would say it's a pink thing.
Okay, you think?
Yeah, I really do. I feel like the way that they go is so horrific. Couple reasons why. One, something happened to them and they were so misunderstood. And then the other thing is, like, looking back, like with hindsight, you're like, oh my God, the world treated them so horribly. That's another thing. Another thing, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like, so much injustice surrounded their story. And finally, I feel like they were always in such their own bubble or something. You're like, oh my God. It's like when something bad happens to a kid. It's like, oh my God, they had no control. Like, they were so alone. They were so helpless. Okay. So I think that adds to the tragedy factor. And then like 20 years later, you're like, wow, that was awful. Like, how they treated her. And I wanted to talk about Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, the last thing I have down here is pink combos.
Yeah.
I have Jessica Simpson. I think you were kind of trying to put her into one of these four categories, and it just didn't fit.
Yeah, so that makes her a good one to end on, because she, like, depends.
Yeah.
It depends what's going on with her. So if you remember her catapult into
the Chicken of the Sea.
Yeah. Like, she had that. Well, she was a singer, and there's so many. You're not on TikTok. There's so many TikToks making fun of, like, how she sang. Like, she used to sing. She was, like, year 2000. She was, like, real breakout, like, that kind of thing. You know, she's like Chicken of the Sea. She didn't understand, like, tuna fish was tuna because it's called chicken.
And that was one of the first reality shows, I think.
Yeah, it was one of the first ones. Her and Nick Lachey. And people just love to, like, just act like she was an idiot.
Yep.
And she was just being herself. And if you look, like, her, you know, kind of that people owning you, like, her dad. Like, there was a lot with her dad coming in and owning and... you know, then a book just came out, you know, she lost control of her company. Then she just got it back. She wrote a whole book, how she had an alcohol addiction issue. And then just looking back, like, people called her such body shame. When you see a picture of this girl back in 2000, she's gorgeous. And what the magazines were saying about her body. So it was constant attention on her body and her choices and her mind and whatnot. And so recently, within the past, like, I don't know, year or so, she did this ad for a design company, and she was really, 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 really skinny in the ad. And there you go. Everyone's, like, coming at her for that now. So she's all over the place. Like, sometimes she's bubblegum. Sometimes she's hot pink. Sometimes she's floaty. Sometimes she's sparkly. Like, it's hard to pin her. It's hard to pin her down. And I'll tell you what I think happens. This is my psychic thought. That she's got a team that the second she starts going, like, hot pink, or, like, by way of, like, Britney Spears or something. Like, I think her team is like, get her back. Retreat, retreat, retreat. And they, like, throw her somewhere. Like, you know, you're out of the spotlight for 6 months. I feel like they're just really good at pulling her out, sticking her somewhere so her brand doesn't suffer or whatever. And then, like, bringing her back out slowly. But I feel like it's hard to get a grasp on her as a person. Like, she was a singer. She was a reality star. She's a business person. She's a spokesperson. Like, what are you? You know? Yeah. But it's also, what shade are you? It's hard to pinpoint her shade, too.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's
hard time defining herself.
Yeah. And it does seem like you were saying, a lot of these, like, go in and out. It's like an in and out. Like, you, like, all of a sudden you're like, wait, I haven't heard of the name Jessica Simpson in 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear all about it. And then years go by and you're like, one of the lastly, a notable no show here, Kim Kardashian. Let me see if I can guess. Now, let me see if I learned something. Okay. I would have to say, based on your descriptions, she would be the bubblegum pink.
Yeah, Kim, like, Kardashian? Between floaty and bubblegum. Oh my God! Don't say Kim Kardashian's a pink aura on TikTok.
No, it happens.
They come after you.
Why? What do they? What do they want her to be?
My issues with TikTok. I don't know. That I think, like, people on TikTok are like, well, pink or, you know, I always say, like, there's no good or bad aura colors. There's just good and bad intentions. All right. So people hate Kim Kardashian. Like, they do. They really like hate her. And so after some of the controversies and stuff, like, I'm like, okay. You know, and we've talked about her already.
We've done all this.
Yeah. So with her, she's all one color, which is weird. Sometimes she'll borrow, like, a yellow or borrow a purple. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like she's borrowing yellow lately ever since the split with
Kanye. She got a lot of money. I don't think she needs to borrow anything. But,
but yeah, so, like, between floaty and the bubblegum thing.
All right. You have the list of those, of pinks.
Yeah.
I think you and Shelby from the page made
the list. Yes, Dr. Shelby.
Give me a couple of names. I want to see if I can kind of get the which one they would be.
Oh, God.
Based on your description.
I don't know if you know everybody.
Yeah, I probably don't. I'll say I don't know them if I don't know them. Give me a couple names.
Okay. Marilyn Monroe. I have to go easy.
Oh, Marilyn Monroe. Oh, my gosh. Well, she could be that hot pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot pink, I'd say.
Yeah, she's like the hot pink one.
All right.
Okay, hold on.
If I don't know them, I'll just say I don't know them. That's okay. Overtime. I'll call overtime.
Are we doing overtime?
Yeah, let's do some. Give me some. Yeah.
Okay.
Give me some names.
This is overtime. Okay. Paris Hilton.
Oh, Paris Hilton. Okay. Floaty?
She used to be, like hot pink.
I can't even believe I'm playing this game.
I know. Her mom's real floaty. Kathy Hilton.
Kathy.
So Paris is yellow, pink, and her mom is too. She used to be more, I can see where you can say that. I mean, honestly, she used to be like hot pink. Now she's more bubblegum. She's branding herself
better.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the.
But she went through all this stuff and everything, so I get it. All
right.
All right, let's do one more because there's not a ton of them, Scott.
Not a couple of.
And I know you don't know everybody.
Let's see if I know them.
All right, you know her.
Overtime.
You know her.
Her?
Yeah, you don't know her.
What do you mean her?
She's an artist.
Wait.
H-E-R.
I don't know her.
Yeah.
I don't know him either, okay. But all right.
Well, she's pink purple.
Okay.
I don't know these
people. Just roll
people.
About. Roll about.
You don't know. Chrishell Strauss. She was from Selling Sunset.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one, but I'm going to guess anyway.
Okay.
So that's the real estate show.
Yeah, she's pink blue.
So I'm going to go with bubblegum?
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's more like kind of floaty.
Floaty.
And then maybe the bubblegum.
Okay.
Sometimes.
All right.
I get that. Cameron Westcott. You don't know who this is. Real Housewives of Dallas.
Okay. Well, I could guess. It's overtime. You could. I don't just throw the name out. You could say Scott, you know. Sparkly?
No, she's more like she's more like bubblegum.
All right, give me another one.
I feel like she knows herself.
Give me more. This is like, because we're learning who the pigs are.
Walter Mercado? You don't know him. He was like this. There was a documentary on Netflix about him. He was kind of like I don't know that much about him either, but he was kind of like Latino community, Spanish, like psychic.
Oh, all right. Give me another one. Pass.
He's pink, green, and purple.
Oh, wow.
That one's, he's interesting. Let's see. Casey Musgraves. She sings that butterfly song.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Oh, Abby loves that song.
Yeah.
Oh, Sparkles?
Maybe. No. She's got a little kind of feisty thing going on. No. Like, she feels more bubblegum to me. All right.
We done?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to put all these up.
It was fun trying to guess. It was more fun trying to guess if I knew who they were.
It became more about that.
Yeah.
Like, does Scott know these people?
First of all, I can't guess one of the four if I don't know who you are. So.
Like, does Scott know these people? What's going on? Yeah.
All right. Well, I know more pinks than the average color.
But are we in overtime?
We're in overtime.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You can leave now.
Okay.
Yeah, you can leave.
You guys can go. We're drawing it out now.
Yeah. Us trying to figure out these colors. We're just drawing it out. All right. We can finish it up.
Okay.
Unless you want me to read from the Mothman Encounters.
I do.
But I don't know if the pink is that. I don't think Mothman's pink.
You can't tease the people.
I know. But I have to find a passage that's not like the WAP song, Cardi B, because there's some stuff in here.
But that's what we want.
A family show. That's the thing. This is a family show.
Well, it's overtime, so we...
This is the book, Erotic Encounters with the Mothman. It's my new favorite book.
Who's the author?
Nightstand. The author is Gwendolyn Rose. She self-published this pamphlet. She's got a very, 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 I don't know what kind of mind, but...
Scott's into it.
Yeah.
This is your bedtime reading.
Sure is.
What's called Erotic Encounters with the Mothman.
I left a review, so if you want
to
go
did.
On Amazon, yeah.
Do you want to read us a section?
Of the review?
No, of your book. I think you get uncomfortable reading it.
I do.
I'd read it, but it's your book.
Because you don't know what you're going to get.
I don't know. Just say bleep if you're not sure you can say it.
It's the premise, and I said this before, it's like the premise is there's
okay, what's
two,
the premise?
There's, I didn't read the beginning part.
You go for the naughty parts, don't you? But you like leap through the naughty parts.
Basically two women in the Mothman.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Menage a Mothman.
Menage a Mothman, yeah.
Yeah, so. Menage a Moth. Yeah, all right, so find a thing for us, and
I mean,
let's find out. You have to like set the scene a bit, too. Like, are there scenes?
Last time we talked.
Like, I don't understand, like,
they went down to his lair. The last time I left it off, they went down to the Mothman's home, and they talked about, like, his books and his, what he owns.
He's a bit of a collector of things.
Yeah, and he's a collector.
But I have a question. Like, I thought the Mothman was, is he a moth? Like, what is he?
Well,
does he have body parts?
He has the male parts that... Like, that I have.
Ew, Scott.
Well, that men have.
We're visualizers.
We're in overtime.
Does he have wings?
Yes. He's like the Mothman.
Are his wings part of his erotic
talents?
That
came down to Point Pleasant. But yet he owns a home. In a cave or something.
He owns real estate?
Yeah, he owns real estate.
How does he make money? I have so many questions.
I know. I'm ill-prepared to read today.
Well, you have to. You have to now.
Okay, fine.
All right,
fine.
Just use the word bleep.
It is overtime. No, I'm going to go. Let me set the scene here now then.
Okay.
I can't believe we're doing this, but it is overtime. Okay,
right.
This is where
Everyone
Dreema.
Cuddle in.
There's Meredith and Dreema. Those are Mothman's two women.
Oh, okay.
And there's scenes where they're together first and then they're with. So.
Wait. Let me just.
Yeah.
Dreema and Meredith are human women.
Yes.
And human they've women. Been together with each other.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now they encountered, we don't know how, Mothman.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I think Dreema brings the Moth. I think she's with Mothman, and then she brings Meredith
into
in
it.
With Mothman.
Okay. Menage a Mothman. All
right,
let's go.
So here we go. Everything's going to be fine, I promise, Dreema said. A light, subtle pulsation, almost like a cat's purr, began to vibrate from the Mothman's chest.
Ew.
Yeah. It was soothing, and then something more. Meredith began to feel, compliant. Whatever was in store for her. Yeah.
Is that his magic skill? Like, he makes you compliant with his purr?
He purred, yeah. But it's weird that a moth purred like a cat.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Whatever was in store for her, she was okay with it. So she came, she came to terms with being with a Mothman.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. She didn't want to resist anymore because anything that felt this incredible, period. Okay. So the writing's bad.
It's self-published. Yeah, it's self-published. Okay.
And anything that felt this good, could it possibly be all bad?
Okay.
Okay. So there you go.
Wow.
I know I'm leaving you hanging again because it's going to get detailed from there.
All right. If any of you are into that, you can go get it yourself on Amazon.
Right.
All right. This podcast, believe it or not, is for you and about you. And we're so glad you spent some time with us today.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.